Come on, put your hands together for the Lord one more time. He is so good. How many know you can have a good time and continue just to love God and enjoy loving God? I believe that's what he wants us to do. Well, I want to share with you from the passage of Romans, the 8th chapter and the 35th verse. And if you're here for your first time, thank you so much for joining us. And I know there are more that are going to Children's Church and some more going to the balcony. We thank God for you. Appreciate you joining us. And also, let others know about what God is doing here and how he's raising people up in this last day. And we give him glory. There's a passage in the book of Romans 8 and 35. Are you all ready? And a question is asked by Paul the Apostle. And if I could just draw a backdrop, the fact is that he's preparing a people. He's almost like a coach preparing the church at Rome, because they had been through quite a bit, including he himself. And they were going to go through even more, probably about 200 years of persecution. He had to come up with an amazing message to them. He had to let them know that, hey, you know, there's reason for you to go through this and not stop, not give up, not throw up your hands. So he asked the question. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations? Then he says, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Then he goes on and he quotes the Old Testament, Psalms 44, and he says, as it is written, yet in all things ye are, wait, is that, they going to move this thing on me? That's good though. We good? For it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. He says, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. The picture of this is like we're just sitting ducks, is how we look. And sometimes it may look like that, but it's not always like it looks. Can I get a good amen? He said, in the midst of all these things, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We're just going to take for a subject, and I just want you to repeat after me. Why don't we personalize and say, I'm more than a conqueror. And why don't you witness to one neighbor and say, we're more than a conqueror. Now, if you believe it, why don't you give him a real good praise? I mean, give him a real good praise. We love you, God. We thank you, God, and we give you glory. Father, again, speak to us. We need you. We can't do anything without you. And I thank you for there's an anointing in this house, God. And the anointing destroys yokes and lifts burdens. So I thank you that it's in Jesus' name we ask it and count it done. We say amen, 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 amen. Yeah, yeah, he is good. He is good. We've had the privilege, and thank you, band. Thank you, band. Y'all sound nice. So y'all tell you, baptism? Oh, we're gonna go after service, they said. So we're gonna, right now, after service, after the message. And I'm glad we've got somebody to baptize. I'm looking forward to it, man. So we've had the privilege of sharing on the inexhaustible subject of love. And the more I experience God's love, the more I want to share his love with others. And I'm not talking about the worldly kind of love, you know, like, you know, I know a lot of us know more about that than we do God's love sometimes. You know, I'm not talking about, you know, I found love on a two-way street and lost it on a lonely highway. I'm not talking about the love that they talk about, you know, the one that says, make up to break up. That's all we do. First you love me, and then you, that's a game for, yeah. So I'm telling you, I don't want to be a part of that game. Because that's, if first you love me, then you hate me, that sounds like fatal attraction. They need an OP. It's an order of protection, y'all. I'm talking about the God kind of love that's so wide, Paul says, that's so deep, that's so high, that actually is beyond our understanding. It goes beyond our understanding. The kind of love we're talking about is that for God so loved the world. For God so loved me and you that he gave his only begotten son. Yes, God truly is love. And I love this passage because it just reminds me of what caused me to want to be a believer in the beginning anyway. You know, so I found this and I've shared it last 2 weeks, but I want to share it one more time, is that God is love and he loves us always and forever. And someone says, Pastor, you got that from Heatwave. No, I didn't. I'm letting you know that God is love and he loves us always and forever. And always means always. And forever means forever. I love the scripture where it says, behold, let us love one another. He's telling us to love one another. For love is of God, and whoever loves is born of God and knows God. He's in this 8th verse. I love this passage. It says, but he who does not love does not know God, for God is, help me out. Not, it didn't say he just had love, but God, what? And if you forget everything else, remember that God is love. Not he just has love or he just knows how to love. He is love. From the very beginning of time, he established us on the earth because he loved us. And I love this passage. Even after we messed up, he knows how to pick up the pieces and make it right. Romans 5:8, it says, but God showed or demonstrated his love toward us that while we were still sinners, not when we got it together, not when y'all look. So y'all look good today. But you all haven't always looked this good. Your neighbor knows that. You didn't always look this good. You didn't always have it together. You didn't always have a testimony of where God. Some of us, God brought us from drugs. Some of us, God brought us out of the streets. Some of us, God brought us from prostitution. Some of us, God brought us out of jail, cleaned us up, and set us right in here and said, I want to use you. While we were still sinners, not when we got it together. That's what some people, they don't want you, man. I'm going to get in trouble. I can do bad all by myself. You ain't got nothing. You better keep on stepping. Don't embarrass yourself. But aren't you so glad that God didn't do you like that? While you were still messed up, while you were still out there jacked up. And you wasn't fit to die. You was like saying, God, I need you. That's when he says, I love them so much, let me send my son to die for them. See, that's why I like God. I love him because of what he has done. And then I want you to know, too, that his love is prehistoric, pre-man, fall of man, if you will, boundless, over his, well, his love is actually overwhelming, you know, never ending. It's reckless. It chases us down, fights till we're found, leaves the 99. I was that one. I was that one that he went back and got, and I'm thankful that he did that. Somebody give him one more shout. He's God. Thank you, Lord. There's no shadow he won't light up. No mountain he won't climb up. We saw that in the message last Sunday with Hosea and Gomer, because Gomer had messed up, but God said, I want you to go get her. Even though she did what she did and she was promiscuous and played the role of a prostitute, I want you to go back and I want you to marry her. I want you to purchase her back. But isn't that what God did for us? When we were out there doing our own thing and we thought we had it going on, kicking it with this one and that one. But God says, I didn't forget about you. Go get her. Go purchase her back. And Jesus was the New Testament Hosea. What does that look like? He hung and died in our place. He purchased our, he's our kinsman redeemer. What does that mean? That he took our place. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was placed upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. That's a good deal. Yes. So Hosea went and purchased Put her on clothes. Now, you know the devil will jack you up. He'll make you think you something, and then before it's all over with, he'll have you naked and in front of everybody. Say, look at him. But Hosea went and wrapped her up, put her his clothes on her. Let me pay for you. Come back, and you don't have to give me anything. And this is, I'm trying to be nice about this, but God told Hosea, he says, don't even make love to her right now. I'm not even buying you back. I don't want you to think it has anything to do with me getting anything out of it, because love is all about giving, not about me getting something out of it. I'm preaching better than you, amen, but that's okay. One of the renowned professors, a theologian, he was asked by his student, he said, you know, what's the most deepest, profoundest thing that you've learned in your tenure of study? And he says, I want you to share it with us. That's what the students asked. He says, he thought about it. He says, well, the most profound thing I've ever received from God's word is that, yes, Jesus loves me. I know, for the Bible tells me so. And someone said, that doesn't sound real deep or profound, but when you find out how much he loves you, it'll change every aspect of your life. If you learn that, yeah, God, you really do love me in spite of me. Because just talk about me. On occasions, yeah, say no more, hallelujah. Let me share the second point with you. It's important. It's important. Why? Because 1 Corinthians 13 and 4 actually, talks about love. It talks about love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, love does not boast, love is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, keeps no record of wrong. And love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always, it is always again, always trusts, always hopes. You mean to tell me after we mess up, you're still going to always be there? Always. Always preserves, love never fails. And this last passage, I love this in the 13th, it says there are three things that are going to last forever: faith, hope, and love. Help me preach it, but the greater is love. Let me do this, share this with you. Even though we know how much God loves us, he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandment. Can I also let you know that even though we know God loves us, your love can be tested? Man. So I put it like this. Our love is tested by the experiences of life. Say it with me. Our love is tested by the experiences of life. And let me just kind of break this down if I can, because Paul the Apostle was sharing and he asked the question, who shall separate me? It could also be translated as, what can separate me from the love of Christ? In other words, there must be challenges that come on occasions that may challenge the relationship, because as soon as you say, you and Boo and Bae got a thing going on, there's going to be some challenges. Even when you have a relationship with God, there are going to be some challenges, and they're not on his side, not on his behalf. Y'all still with me? So the writer asks, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he is talking to the people that he needs to encourage because of what they're going to go through and some of the things that they're in the midst of right now. Are you with me today? The passage goes on and says, shall tribulations. And if I could just clarify just a few things in the house, is that the writer is writing to a group of people that have been battle tested. And some people think that Christianity is only about being nice, dressed up, singing songs, but do you know there's a group of people that are being persecuted right now for what they believe in? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Woo! So even around that time, remember Christ had been crucified. Followers, and he asked them, he says, except you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you can have no part with me. Many of them left right then because they knew he was talking about death. Well, right now. So at that time, it wasn't fun, it wasn't cool to be Christians. Are y'all with me today? In fact, in one particular time, there were counted, estimated about 7 million Christians, and as many as 2 million had been killed for their faith. Yeah. Nero's chopping block. You know, they made them as sport and put them in lions' dens and cages. And understand, we understand Daniel, but can I remind you that everybody didn't come out? You know, we love Daniel's message. Yeah, Daniel was in the lion's den. But God shut the mouth of the lion. And he did. But did you know there was a whole lot of them that didn't come out of the lion's den? I'm preaching better, you amen. And thank you, God. So the scripture says here that shall tribulations, what are tribulations? I'm glad you asked. And some of y'all say, I don't want to know. It means to be under pressure, trouble, to experience the pressures of life. And we will do that. Job put it like this. He says that man is born of a woman full of trouble. Thank you, God. You know, New Edition put it like this. On a perfect day, I know I can count on you. Sunny days, everybody loves them, but help me out. Can you? And the rain. And y'all know, folks, that y'all say, Pastor, you ain't always been safe. I'm telling you. Telling he done a thing for me. He worked some things out in me, man. And I was a church kid and still. Thank you, Jesus. Scripture also goes on and says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall do what? Deliver them out of them all. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So he says, shall tribulations, let me ask you the question, shall tribulation separate you? Shall distress, and what is distress? Distress is like the Greek word is, it means like a narrowing or like feeling confined, a space that's makes you hemmed in. And sometimes people feel like that on their job. Sometimes they even feel like it in relationships. I'm all hemmed in. So tribulations, distress, then it goes on as persecution, where someone is messing with you and trying their best to push you down. And again, they were going to experience that for 200 years. And Paul had to come up with something that was going to encourage to build them up, because after that he says, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, these things are coming. But the emphasis of this passage is what shall separate me from God's love. Goes back to the love. And it's easy to love somebody when things are good, right? It's easy to love people when we've got it going our way, when we're full and when we have what we want and we're wearing. And folks, you know, just in this day, man, we live in pretty nice. We're not bad at all, man. I'm telling you what. In our country, I'll get in trouble for this one. You know, they're not dying for starving. Eating too much is killing us. Obesity. So it's not nakedness. It's not famine. It's some other things. So can I share with you, in the midst of all of this, and I love this passage. This is Hebrew. I'm going to move on. Hallelujah. But I'm feeling this because I've spoke on this before, but never with this much clarity, understanding the historicity of this particular passage, because he is building them up. In the book of Hebrews, 11th chapter, and I'm not sure if they have it on screen, but it talks about by faith, and these are all the great people of faith, and I love this passage, and our church is actually built on much of this. It says, you know, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, and it goes on down. And what faith happened. Now look at the 33rd verse. It says, by faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched flames of fire, escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle, and put whole armies to flight. 35th verse says, women received their loved ones back again from the dead. You talk about a move. Now look, there's a transition. Say, but others were tortured, refused to turn, just because they refused to turn from God in order to be set free. They said, no, we're not, go on, take, if you got to take the life, go on, take the life. Come on. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered and their backs were, help me out, cut open with whips. Yes. Others were chained in prisons. Yes. Some died by what? Some were sawed in. Now, if I said someone was coming next week looking for every true believer, but I'm just saying, whoever the boogeyman is, I ain't gonna say no names of them, they coming to take all the folk that's really saved and really living for God, and we're gonna saw them in half. Man, can I imagine the church would be there, shoot, pastor like dismissed. But can I let you know that in that day when they were cutting off heads, and I'm sharing, and pastor, you say, well, why are you being so gruesome? I'm just preaching the word. Everybody can't preach just cotton candy and cake and pie all the time. I'm just saying. Listen. These men that were following Christ weren't just showing up on Sunday. They weren't showing up like, I'm entitled. You ought to be happy that I'm here. No, God, I want to live for you. I love you that much because you gave everything to me. I want to give everything to you. They weren't arguing on, well, I don't know if we should put a dollar in this Sunday. No, God, everything I have belongs to you. My life belongs to you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Man, I feel his presence right now. Somebody give him a praise in the house. Woo! We have become, and I'm moving on, this is not in my notes, but we have become an entitled generation where we look for things that only benefit us. And who wants to be in a relationship, including God, that he says, I've given you my all, and then you still unfaithful and running after the things of the world. He says, no, I'm calling you to come back to me. Somebody give him one real good praise in this place. Thank you, God. So the Bible says that Simon Peter was crucified upside down because he says, you know, I'm not worthy to be crucified the same way Jesus was. Andrew crucified, you know, that was Peter's brother. James was beheaded, cut his head off. Yeah. I'm just letting you know that the message gets better. Hallelujah. Say, can't get much worse, Pastor. John was exiled and died of old age. Matthew was speared to death. Now, I'm just wondering if it came to that. I'm even wondering myself, would I stand up and say, here I am, Lord. I'm not going to deny. I trust you, God. Philip was crucified. Thomas was speared to death. Simon was crucified. James was stoned. Wow. Here's the good part. I know some say, finally, thank you. In the midst of all that's going on, the writer says, and I love this passage in the 37th verse. He says, yet in the midst of all the stuff that's going on, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I don't care what goes, what comes, what goes. We're still more than conquerors through him that loves us. We may be going through some things. And let me just share some things with some people, because some people think that because they've got things good, because they've got a job, because they've got a house, a car, because they can do whatever they want to do and go on trips, they think that that means that I'm living for God and God is for me and all this. Can I let you know that's not necessarily the truth? God was with those individuals that were thrown in the lion's den. God was with the ones that was crucified. God was with the ones that was beheaded for his name's sake. I want you to know that God is with you even in the midst of the storm, in the midst of your challenge, in the midst of your trials. He's still with you. Somebody give him a praise in this house. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, let me share this passage. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Even Job's friends talked to him and was talking crazy. You must have done something. People will look at your life and they'll think you messed up is the reason that you're in the situation that you're in. But that's not always the case. It's not always the case. Thank you, Lord. Some of y'all been lied on, talked about, ostracized, discriminated against. You must have done something. No, sometimes God just wants to get the glory out of my life. I'm just letting you know that I'm going to live for him. I don't care what comes, what goes. I'm going to live for him. Somebody bless him in this house. He says, we are more than conquerors yet in all these things. We are more than, well, what does the word more than conquerors mean? When I was looking at the passage and looked at the Greek, to be a conqueror, you know, means to be victorious, and the actual word has to do with Nikeo, and I looked it up, and it's where we get the word Nike from, which mean, they talk about just do it because it means to be a conqueror. But to be more than a conqueror means to be a super or a hypo Nikeo, which means that you're way above just being a conqueror. Conquerors, at the end of it, they say, we won, we conquered. You know what more than conquerors do? More than conquerors, they start before the battle even starts. They say, Father, I thank you that we're victorious. I thank you that we're triumphant. I thank you that I know who I am. I know whose I am. I know that I walk in victory, total victory. And then while they're in the midst of it, they're not waiting for it to come out. No, God, I know who I am. I'm victorious. I'm more than a conqueror. If you believe it, give him a shout at this house. If you really know that you're more than a conqueror. Thank you, God. Shout it with me, I'm more than a conqueror. Shout it with me again, I'm more than a conqueror. Now let's bless him in this house one time. I'm almost done, y'all. But I feel a praise coming on. Let me share for all of you all that's here and you laid down your life for the Lord. Man, I don't care how tough it gets. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't let anything separate you from the love of God. Woo! Let me try to end on this thing. Yeah, y'all go and give him a shout. I know y'all feel it. Woo! I know you feel it. Thank you, God. Something has happened in my life. I'm no longer the person I was when I started ministry. After 3 decades, I've grown in my faith. I've grown in my love for God. And no longer do things satisfy me or excite me. It used to be, oh, I want this, I want that. Now, God, I want you. Everything on this earth is fading. Stuff is getting out of here, and you're not taking a thing with you. And people won't even remember a lot of the things that you did and tried to accomplish, but what they will remember is your love for Christ. One of my boys from Peoria, I won't say his name, but he was paralyzed, and he walked in church with crutches, and he was paralyzed from the waist down. And when he came in, you know, some would look at him and they wonder, like, you know, who is this guy? When service began to go, he began to lift his hands, began to praise God, began to give God glory, and the music got good to him. He began to dance on crutches. And some of the people on the outside, well, they even asked me, said, you know, how can he dance with being on crutches, being paralyzed from the waist down? And I said, well, you don't understand. You have no clue He's not just a conqueror. He's more than a conqueror. He's giving God glory in the midst of the battle. He's not waiting till the battle is over. He's shouting now, even on his crutches. What is your problem? What is your situation? What's holding you back from giving God glory? Come on, bless him in this house. He's God. Thank you, God. My last scripture, while you're standing, it just says this, and y'all check it out too. They got it on the screen. Yeah, I hear you say it. It's building in your spirit. I'm more than a conqueror. Shout it like you mean it. I'm more than a conqueror. Shout it like you mean it. You sound like a conquering church. A more than conquering church. 1 Corinthians says this. 2 Corinthians 4 and 17. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Somebody need to hear that. These light tribulations for a season. Thank you, Lord. They won't last forever. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look to the troubles that we see now. We're not looking at the stuff that we see now because, see, I'm telling you, one day I'm going to take off mortality and put on immortality. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. You don't understand, this place is not my home. I've got another home. I'm just passing through y'all. Y'all can have everything down here, but I've got an eternal home. Somebody shout hallelujah. He says this, so don't let the troubles that we see now, don't fix your eyes, don't let that stuff bother you. But rather fix your gaze on the things that you can't see or the things that cannot be seen. For the things we now see will soon be what? It's going to be gone. But the things we cannot see will last forever. How many of y'all believe we're going to live forever? More than conquerors. I'm closing this thing up. I got to close, but I feel the anointing on today. Hallelujah. Some of you all are still asking the question, well, Pastor, you know, I think everything is good, and I think that I won't let anything separate me, but I'm not sure if the death of a child, what if the death of a child, will that separate? And folks, I'm not talking about what I don't know. Some years ago, we had two, and this is our family, two twins die, infants. And how many of y'all know that sometimes you'll question, God, do you really love me? Some of y'all at that place right now, God, with all that's going on in my life, do you still love me? Can I let you know that regardless of things that happen around you, God still loves you. And he'll take what the enemy meant for evil, and he'll turn it around for your good. Can I get a witness in this house?